The upcoming Synod of the United Reformed Churches in North America has us thinking of Appendix 1 of the URCNA Church Order's Guidelines for a Thoroughly Reformed Theological Education. Section 5.1 says, four preaching courses, including a course in catechism preaching. Now, we here at MidAmerica have this course as a requirement for our MDiv students, but this course isn't just for those who are Continental Reformed. We even have Presbyterians enrolled. Welcome to MarsCast, a podcast from MidAmerica Reformed Seminary, where our faculty members address all things theological and cultural from a Reformed lens. I'm your host, Jared Luchibor. In today's episode, Reverend Paul Ipema begins a series discussing the history, practice, and relevant issues associated with catechism preaching. Catechism preaching has long been an important tradition in Reformed churches, where the doctrinal summaries contained in the Heidelberg Catechism were not just taught, but expounded upon regularly from the pulpit. However, there are some concerning trends today where catechism preaching is being sidelined or abandoned, particularly as churches move away from having a Sunday evening service. Reverend Ipema explores the importance of maintaining this practice to preserve our theological rootedness and identity as Reformed churches. He'll also touch on how some ministers entering Reformed churches lack training in this aspect of pastoral ministry, and how we here at MidAmerica Reformed Seminary offer unique preparation for prospective ministers in this area of ministry.
I'm Paul Ipema, Assistant Professor of Ministerial Studies at MidAmerica Reformed Seminary. And on today's podcast, I'd like to begin a series of messages concerning catechism preaching, the history and practice, and a number of relevant issues that are associated with catechism preaching. It's timely, I think, that I talk about the subject because, by coincidence, we are currently teaching catechism preaching to our students at MidAmerica. Dr. Venema is teaching the class, and I am assisting him in that class. We make that a requirement for students pursuing the Master of Divinity degree. But as we consider the subject of catechism preaching, there are a couple of concerns that have arisen recently, I think, that warrant further reflection and discussion on the issue of catechism preaching. The first is more broadly concerning churches in the Reformed tradition, and then secondly, more narrowly, with my own denomination or federation, the United Reformed Churches. So let me begin, first of all, by talking about a concern I have regarding churches more broadly Reformed and evangelical. Historically, at least, the catechism preaching was always part of what was considered the second service or the afternoon service, going back to the earliest days of catechism preaching. It was designed by the church leaders to be more of a teaching or a didactic type of worship service where the truths of Scripture as formulated in the catechism would be not only taught, but preached. And in fact, it's very clear from the historical record, Elector Frederick, for example, who commissioned the writing of the Heidelberg Catechism, wanted very much, and he expressed this in the preface to the catechism in its first edition, that he wanted the catechism not only to be taught to the youths and to adults as well, but he wanted it preached on a regular basis. And I'll say more about this in a later podcast, but that history of teaching from the catechism as the summary of biblical truth and the church's confession of faith really had its origins already early in the time of the Reformation. And that second service was always understood to be more of a teaching service. But we've seen in recent years, especially, even among churches that have historically had two services, you're seeing a number of churches cut back now to a single service on the Lord's Day, or a service on a Saturday night, and then a service on Sunday morning. But as a result of that transition, what has happened is catechism preaching has gone by the wayside. Or if it is incorporated into worship, it's done so in a way that certainly does not have center stage the way it did historically for many generations in Reformed churches. And that is a source of great concern to me for a number of reasons. But I think, first of all, when you think of what will happen long term when the catechism is not taught, is that we lose our moorings theologically. We're uprooted from what it is that we confess. And when a generation goes by that has not been instructed in the catechism, you'll see people drifting in one direction or another. I think sometimes those changes are not perceptible early on. Sometimes it's merely a matter of logistics that we can't do catechism preaching or personal preference. Some people find the catechism to be old and irrelevant, outdated. Others find it to be dry and overly theological. Whatever those reasons may be, I think initially when catechism preaching has ceased, you don't see the immediate effects, but it will show itself, I believe, in a generation or so later when you have a church comprised of people who are not conversant in the language of the Reformed faith. And I think that's going to be very detrimental to Reformed churches who want to remain Reformed or have an identity as biblically Reformed, solidly conformed, confessionally Reformed. And so I think the practice of catechism preaching is essential to maintaining that spiritual vibrancy in the church for generations to come. And I think about that not only as a seminary professor, not only as a pastor, but I also think about that as a father and now as a grandfather as well. I think about what kind of church my granddaughters will be growing up in and what they will learn. I'm very concerned about that. I want them to be just as enthusiastic about the Reformed faith as I am, and I want them to have the kind of instruction that I was blessed with during my childhood and to have preaching that affirms that as well. And then there's another concern, I would say, in addition to that trend where we're seeing the second service eliminated, and that pertains more closely or more narrowly with my own federation, the United Reformed Churches. As some of you know, I have been a pastor in the United Reformed Churches since the very beginning of its formation, and I've witnessed a lot of things that have taken place in the short history of our federation. And one thing that concerns me is the number of ministers entering into the pastorates of the United Reformed Churches who have not been trained or, shall I say, adequately trained in catechism preaching. Some of you may be aware of the fact that in our church order, there is an appendix that explains what are some of the guidelines for a solid theological training for ministry. And one of those requirements is catechism preaching. And there are a number of men who enter the URC ministry who, because of where they went to seminary, did not have opportunity to learn from a professor or a mentor how to preach the catechism. And I say that not simply speculating, but I have had experience where I've even been contacted by elders from local churches asking me, could I help their pastor who was not trained in catechism preaching? Could I help teach him how to preach the catechism? What's involved in that? And I would say one of the things that Mid-America Reformed Seminary offers uniquely is the kind of education that I believe, and I know Dr. Venema has stated this on many occasions publicly, that if a man seeks to enter the ministry of the United Reformed Churches, I believe Mid-America offers the most well-rounded, the most complete preparation theologically and ministerially for ministry in the United Reformed Churches. We take very seriously the role of catechism preaching in the life of the church and in the work of the ministry. And so we work very hard in the catechism preaching class, not only teaching the history of catechism preaching, the principles of catechism preaching, objections to catechism preaching, but what I especially enjoy doing and enjoy doing with my colleague, Dr. Venema, is having students present their sermons either by way of delivery of a sermon or just presenting an outline and working through or critiquing that sermon as a catechism sermon. It's been, I think, very helpful to have that sort of exercise in the classroom. And so I think Mid-America offers a unique opportunity, and I would encourage any man who is considering entering into the ministry of the United Reformed Churches, for example, to seriously consider that aspect of our educational program, that we are committed to the kind of teaching that will give you a well-rounded and, I think, the most adequate, the most complete preparation for ministry in the URC. I think the situation that we face with a number of ministers coming, say, from other denominations or federations or graduating from other seminaries is this is really the, I think, the unfortunate consequence of having seminaries that are not governed by ecclesiastical bodies, where in my own experience, for example, I was trained at Mid-America Reformed Seminary, and I took catechism preaching, but I also was required back in the day to attend a year of academic study and a year of internship through Calvin Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they were insistent that even though I had a catechism preaching class at Mid-America, they wanted me and required me and all others in my position coming from other seminaries to take their catechism preaching course. And of course, I was a bit upset about that at first because I had already taken the class, but I understand now, I think, better why that was important to them, that if they're going to approve and recommend men for ministry, which back in the day was the case in the Christian Reformed Church, we were not recommended for ministry or not approved for candidacy by the local consistory or the broader assembly. We were recommended for candidacy by means of the Board of Trustees of Calvin Theological Seminary, and then that recommendation was passed on to Synod, and Synod would then declare us candidates. So, but I understand now why they wanted to make sure that those entering the ministry of the Christian Reformed Church were competent in terms of a very important part of pastoral ministry, which was preaching the catechism. Those are roughly about half of the sermons that a pastor will preach in the Christian Reformed Church or in the United Reformed Churches. And so I would say the same thing as well, that, and I appeal especially to those men who are in the process of contemplating seminary education, think about that. Think about the importance of having somebody competent and experienced teaching you how to write catechism sermons, and the necessity of having sermons that are based upon the text of the catechism. I'll say more about that in terms of methodology in a subsequent podcast, but I think it's worth noting that this is a very important aspect of ministry, and I realize as a professor at Mid-America Reformed Seminary, I seem to be putting a plug in for the seminary, but I do believe that it is something that we are uniquely qualified to offer to those seeking to enter into the ministry. And so I'll leave with this thought that, you know, when a church, when a denomination, when a body of believers cuts itself off from its theological heritage by means of discontinuing catechism preaching, the consequences are not going to be favorable. They're not going to be good. It will leave people adrift theologically and spiritually. And so I want to affirm the goodness, the importance, the validity of preaching from the Heidelberg Catechism.
Anything in this episode you take issue with? Well, tune in next time on MarsCast as Reverend Ipama takes on some of the more popular objections to catechism preaching. If you enjoyed this episode of MarsCast, please consider subscribing and telling others who might be interested. Also, consider leaving a review. Your thoughts would be greatly appreciated, and they'll help us to enhance our content further. Your support allows us to produce engaging content and build a community of lifelong learners and thoughtful practitioners. I'm Jared Luchibor, signing off for now. See you in the next episode of MarsCast.